So today's passage of scripture comes from John 3. We're in the Gospel of John, John 3, 14 through 21. And we're still in Lent, so we're celebrating and we're walking with Jesus as he journeys to the cross. Jesus knows what's going to happen there. Jesus has a full and heavy heart, if you will, but he's still walking, he's still journeying, he's still talking with his disciples, teaching them, healing. And so today we join him on that journey during Lent. So we're in John 3, 14 through 21. I invite you to follow along with the screen or with a Bible or a tablet, whatever you have, or just invite you to hear the words of Scripture this morning. I'm going to read out of the NRSV translation. "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come into the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." You've heard it so many times before. You've seen it on t-shirts and in tote bags and in church gift shops around the world. You've heard it yelled over crowds and corners. You've had it tattooed on your arms or your feet. And perhaps you can even recite it by heart, and if it were a Mad Lib, you'd surely fill it in correctly. John 3:16, a verse that Tim Tebow wore underneath his eyes during the championship game, a verse that most people can say backwards and forwards and surely will for you if you ask, a verse that is so common, it seems to have become a little trivial at best. It's a slogan or a catchphrase of sorts. And yet, John 3:16 is crucial to our faith. It encapsulates the reason why Christ came to dwell among humanity. And it's such this concise and simple little verse just right here at the beginning of John that we can just jump over it at times. But it reminds us of the deep and overwhelming, all-encompassing love that God has for us. But with great popularity comes grave indifference. Complacency lurks at every corner, and we hear the words of this passage and we can recite them feeling a little safe, right? For God so loved the world. And it's easy to just sum up the gospel message with saying this verse, but never letting it get its claws into you. Never letting the gospel message of Christ sending, or of Jesus, God sending his Son to dwell in your heart, to sink into your life, to change the way you act in love and care and respond to others. And if we say the words of this verse, then we're automatically safeguarded from having to read the rest of the Gospel of John. Taking for granted the invitation to be in relationship with God, we go through the motions of just reciting this without concerning ourselves with the struggle of our neighbor, with the person on the corner struggling with addiction, with those fighting injustice and unfairness. And we just chalk this verse up to eternal life. When I get there, it will be fine. I have eternal life. You surely don't. But if I can just make it. And we ignore the here and now, thinking we'll get there one day, right? We'll just write it off. Tomorrow I'll live like John 3:16 matters. Tomorrow I'll care, but I'll just recite it today. I don't need to live it now when I can live an eternity. But that's the problem with this verse. That's the challenge of reading this passage and finding something new to hear, to encounter, to be affected by. And today, maybe this familiarity with the verse can actually play to our strengths. I bet you if you closed your eyes and crossed your fingers, you could get word for word what comes in John 3:16. But we can hear the verses together anew today. We can be reminded of the joy of learning it in that first Sunday school class, writing it down, getting that gold star, getting that piece of candy when you could say it just right. And we find ourselves in the gospel according to John. John always is concerned with light and darkness. He starts the gospel with this beautiful hymn, this song of sorts, saying that the Word came to dwell among us, that Jesus was light, that the darkness could never overwhelm it. And then in John 3, says it again. John the Baptist has come and cried out as Jesus walked by, "Behold, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world." Jesus has gotten together those rough and tough fishermen, even the ones that weren't too concerned about trash from Nazareth. Jesus has cleansed the temple, running people off, making it about profit and not worship. And right here, before we get to John 3:14 through 21, a Pharisee named Nicodemus comes asking for some clarification, asking what it means to be born again, what it means to be born anew or above, as the Greek implies. And here in the third chapter of the Gospel according to John, Jesus talks of God's love for humanity, the invitation to have eternal life through faith and relationship in Jesus. And John 3:16 can remind us that through Jesus, God shows us just how much God loves us. That love is more. Love that gives and endures. Love that even showed up on the cross when Jesus willingly gave of himself so that we would be reconciled to our Creator.
Good to be here today. I have a bit of problem speaking through the mask, so but I'm pretty sure you guys are safe if you know there's any problems. But I want to first of all thank God that giving me the opportunity to be here today and to continue preaching what Pastor Joy has started. And second of all, I want to thank Pastor Joy for giving us, the seminarians, opportunity to practice the arts of our education. So I want to thank you for that. And also, I want to thank all of you guys for being here today. It's a gloomy day today. It's rainy, but we don't give up. We still come and, you know, have fellowship and listen into the words of God. So I want to thank you for doing that. And those of you in the Zoom, thank you for attending in the Zoom, although it's rather difficult, especially during this time. Anyways, I'm going to go ahead and dig into the scriptures. So we are in the season of Lent, like Pastor Joy mentioned. Lent is a season of reflection. For some of us, in our reflection, we replicate the work of our Lord Jesus to strengthen our relationship with God. And for others, we reflect on the goodness of God. For my part of the preaching today, I want to take us to John 3:14 through 17 to reflect on the love of God. John 3:14 through 17 reads, And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through them. Now, let us take the time to reflect on the text in more details. The text is a continuation of Jesus' conversation with the Pharisee named Nicodemus, which started in verse 1. Now, Nicodemus was remarkably interested in Jesus because of the miracles that Jesus has done. We can say that he was curious to figure out the secret sauce that Jesus used to do those miracles. Anyhow, Jesus said to him in verses 4 and 5, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Now, Jesus is talking about the Son of Man being lifted up. When Jesus is talking about the Son of Man being lifted up, he's not talking about anyone else. He is talking about himself being lifted up on the cross, like Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. Jesus is talking about salvation through him. He uses the example of Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness as a picture of salvation. The story of Moses lifting up the serpent can be found in number 21, specifically number 21, verse 9. If we go there, we find the story of God delivering Israelites from the king of Arab, the Canaanites. Israelites then set out by the way to the Red Sea toward the Promised Land. And while they were on their way, they spoke against God and complained to Moses. God then sent poisonous serpents, and when it bites them, they died. The Israelites then repent, so God instructed Moses to make a serpent bronze and set it on a pole. The Israelites would look at the bronze serpent whenever they were bitten by the snakes in order to be saved. Be saved here related to the idea of salvation that Jesus is referring to. Well then, what does salvation look like? Well, in verse 15, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Eternal life is salvation. Salvation here simply is to believe in Jesus. Can we all do that? Can we all believe in Jesus? What does salvation and eternal life look like? According to Gail Olden commentary, eternal life is to live no longer defined by the blood or by the will of the flesh or human will, but by God. Eternal life is to live in the presence of God. Eternal life and salvation begins when we start our relationship with Jesus. If we look at the next part, verses 16 and 17, the text reiterates the salvation that Jesus is talking about in verses 14 and 15, but moves the conversation forward by referring to God's love of the world. The world here refers to all human beings. The text describes God as the giver. God gives salvation to the world through his only Son, Jesus. Verse 16 is the most popular verse of the entire Bible. Some people refer to it as the main theme of the Bible. Some refer to it as the key to unlock the door of eternal life. Most Christians, and even some non-Christians, know this text by heart. Verse 17 concludes that God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Why does God need to send his son to save us? Why do we need Jesus to receive salvation? Well, without the love of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we are fallible. As we have seen with the Israelites in the wilderness, although God had just delivered them from the hands of the Canaanites, they still speak out against God and live in a way that breaks their covenant with God. Similarly, we are not perfect, or at least not perfect all the time, and that is totally okay. That is what makes us who we are. That is why we need Jesus. We need God's interference to receive eternal life. So as we go about our days in the season of Lent, let us reflect on the goodness of God. Let us reflect on the love of God through our Lord Jesus. Let us keep in mind that our eternal life begins when we start our relationship with Jesus. Let us forgive more as God has forgiven us. Let us love more as God has loved and is loving us through our Lord Jesus. May God bless you and loves you throughout your days. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. So I'm also going to take off my mask because it would be easier for me to speak through. So it is my pleasure and honor to be here again. And that also Pastor Dre for giving me the opportunity to share the message with you for today all. The message that I am going to continue to share with you, to all of you for today's John chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. The passage is very important to learn, to understand, and to apply it to our own life. In this today world, we live in today, in this world, life may not be good all the time, and there are a lot of things that we have to suffer through because of the sin that we inherited from Adam and Eve, and because of the curse. So we have to live in this every world. In nations, the wage of sin is death, as we heard and already know. There are many of us in the world who live in fears, could able to get out in the darkness, some even wanted to end their life. But I want to encourage all of you that this is not what God wants you to be. God wants you to live in courage and enjoy the present moment of your life, even in the midst of the suffering. So today, I would like to share the good news with all of you about how to overcome darkness, fears, or even death by through Jesus Christ. So as you already know, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you already receive an eternal life. You already become a new creation. Death no longer have power over you. Sin no longer have power over you. You are able to live freely as the child of God. And there is no greater power than the name of Jesus and believe in him. So the country that I was come from, there's a lot of people who are demon-possessed, especially because there are a lot of non-believers. And so when a pastor pray for the person and ask, do you believe in the name of Jesus? And when the person respond, yes, I do, and then the demon no longer have the power to oppress that person, is that he have to be relieved right away. You have the power over everything. I want to tell you by the name of Jesus and by believe in him. Another example would be when Jesus' example in the New Testament. They go out and preach the good news by believe in Jesus and by uses the name of Jesus. However, to those who do not believe in him, already condemned, as the scripture said, John chapter 3, verse 18. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So in this physical world, life sometimes may be very smooth, but if you do not have Jesus in your life and believe in him, later on, little by little, it might be perish or become hopeless. And evil darkness will still have the power over you, and your bondage with sin will not be break. I remember when I was 11 years old, we went to on a missionary in a small village where there is where there is only few houses consisting, and there is a one small family who had been suffered from sickness, tortured by bad dream, by worshiping some sort of spirits, because for our culture, our indigenous religious, it's not Christians. So like our great-great-grandparents believe some sort of like forest spirits, flower spirits, some sort of like environmental nature stuff. So this family ask us to pray for them. And later on, that family started to become and allow Jesus Christ as a light and believe in Jesus. And later on, we heard that they become Christians, and they overcome the sickness that they have gone through recently, and the bad dream that they have been tortured recently by living in the darkness. And little by little on, they are able to live freely as the child of God. Continues in verse 19, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Who is that light has come into the world? It was Jesus, the Christ, the only Son of God. He was the good news. And when a person loved darkness, in some commentators, it pointed out that it is the same meaning as not believing. So when a person loved darkness, it means he or she still remaining in the darkness. And the scripture tell us that why people love darkness rather than light. It is because the thing that they do are sinful, which means what they practice and does, it's not something for God and something against God. In verse 21, but those who do what is true come to light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. To do what is true, it's also me to be obedient in the Old Testament. So when you choose to do what is true, that means you are obedient and you choose to practice the good deed. And people will know Jesus Christ through you and will see the light. So God loves you so much, and he had already sent his son Jesus Christ through you, and he already separate the darkness from you through Jesus Christ. Therefore, sin, darkness, and death no longer have power over you. In life, remember that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and disciplines, as the scripture said. And there is nothing that you have to fear about. God is loving you unconditionally. He is welcoming you with open hand. He will not abandon you nor forsake you. You always have a chance to repent and come into the light and to receive the eternal life. The good news for today is that death or sin no longer have power over you. You already receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. You are powerful as the child of God. Sometimes if you don't feel well in this physical world, which is very common, remember to ask God in the name of Jesus Christ and you will be comforted. Jesus is your hope, your salvation, your truth, and light. There is nothing that you should be fears about. However, you also know that there are still many there who loved darkness rather than light, as the scripture said. So how would you live out your faith to these people and share the good news to them? Sometimes even a little good deeds of act may change people's life. So you can live out your faith by pouring out the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So now you can able to think of how could you able to apply this scripture, John chapter 3, 18 through 21, into your life and to make it more meaningful. So thank you so much to all of you. May God bless you all and embrace you every moment of your life. May your life will fill with peace, joy, love, kindness, in the name of Jesus, the only Son of God.
For God so loved the world. Today, you might have heard that verse so many times, but it's a reminder of the invitation that our eternal life starts now, that we don't have to wait for this pie in the sky, this death, this rebirth. Instead, Christ meets us here. For God so loves the world today that he sent his only Son, that he would come and redeem and reconcile us. And so thank you to Katu and Posbe for sharing with us some more about the passage and the verses. But I want to encourage you as we close the sermon portion to remember that verse, even if you can recite it by heart, let it touch and soak into the way you live your life. May you be reminded that God loves the world, even that annoying person that cuts you off in traffic, even that person that doesn't quite wear their mask right, or the person that wants to argue about the right or the left. Know that God so loved the world, he's called you to do so as well. For the Son did not come into the world to condemn it, but to redeem it, that we might be children of God, that we would be light in darkness, that we would be a city on a hill, and that we would go and love those that we encounter, loving God and our neighbor. So go today being encouraged that darkness cannot overcome light. That God so loved the world that you and your neighbors and those that you love are included. And as we journey through and as we come near to the end of Lent, know that Easter is on the horizon. That the pain and suffering of Good Friday is necessary for the joy and celebration of Easter Sunday. Because the grave, the darkness, could not overcome Christ. That Jesus rose again to give us that new life, to make us new creations, and to extend a relationship that we might come to love Christ and to love those around us. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.